If you're just joining us, my guest is Michael Waldman, and he wrote speeches for the president from his inauguration through 1999 and was the head of the speechwriting department for President Clinton from 1995 to 1999. Waldman has written a new memoir called POTUS Speaks. Now, you sometimes had to work in support of policy that you didn't really believe in. For example, you used to work with Ralph Nader's office, and you were very anti-NAFTA. President Clinton was very pro-NAFTA, the North America Free Trade Agreement. And you had to work pushing NAFTA for a while for the Clinton administration. How did you feel about that, you know, working in support of a policy you didn't believe in?
It's true that coming into the administration, I had opposed NAFTA, and Clinton was for it. And I knew that when I voted for him, when I went to work for him. When push came to shove and they asked me to run the communications effort for NAFTA, it was a real dilemma, in some ways a primal loyalty test. And I decided that I supported him and he had made this decision and I owed it to him to help him get done what he wanted to get done. I don't know if I would have thought that on all issues, but on that issue, that was where I came down, in part because I did think that he had put into the agreement labor and environmental side agreements, which addressed some of the concerns that I had. Now, I'll say that over the time, at that point and later, my own views on trade actually shifted somewhat. I think partly from working on that, maybe it was just convenient, but I came to believe that you couldn't go back on free trade, that you needed to find a way to make open markets work better for people, work better for labor and the environment, but that simply kind of retreating was not an answer. So by the end, I was more comfortable with it, but I ultimately had to decide whether to do it or to leave, and I thought I owed it to him to do it.
Why did you leave the White House in 1999?
Well, I'd been working for Clinton for 7 years. I had three young children, and it's tiring. And so I wanted to see what was next, do some writing and teaching and move on.
It wasn't because you felt betrayed by, say, the Monica Lewinsky story or anything like that?
No, I was even thinking of leaving before that. As it's such an exhausting experience. People are always wondering what they're going to do next. But I stuck it out during that time in part because I thought it was important to stay there.
Now, what was it like watching President Clinton's convention address in August and not having worked on it yourself?
It was interesting hearing it fresh and being in the position with the rest of the audience. I thought it was a wonderful speech. People at the convention center were congratulating me for it, and I hated having to tell them I had nothing to do with it. I thought it was great to see him make an argument where he wasn't the candidate. I think that added to its effectiveness.
Remember he had that line in that speech, and people were divided about whether he was saying, whenever you think of me, or whatever you think of me?
At the very end of that speech, he said, I thought he said, whatever you think of me, don't stop thinking about tomorrow. And like a lot of other people, I thought that was a very deft way of saying, you know, put your feelings about me aside and focus on the record and on Gore. It turned out that he didn't say that. He said, whenever you think of me. A lot of people are feeling very betrayed by that. But the fact is, he said it, I guess, the way he said whenever. I think a lot of people liked it better the other way.
Was it written as whenever or whatever?
Yes. I asked the speechwriters, I said, which line was that? And they said it was whenever. Well, I think actually it may have been ad-libbed. I don't think it was really some big thought-through strategy.
How did it change your writing to have written for the president?
When you're writing for a president, you have to try and write in his voice. If I wrote a speech and people said, wow, Waldman, that was great, it really sounded like you, then I'd fail. So I'm a New Yorker through and through, and probably have some of the smart-alecky tendencies of a New York writer, and had to learn how to write in a more mellifluous Southern voice. And I think over time, I'm recapturing my own my own style. We'll see. I'm sure it improved it. I learned an incredible amount from Clinton, from his knowledge of history and scripture and all those kinds of things. And, you know, I hope that benefits me in the long run.
I bet you weren't used to quoting scripture.
No, this was one of these. Neither I nor the other speechwriters were very good at giving him the scripture passages that he liked. And when Ron Brown's plane crashed, that was very emotional and dramatic for all of us because we'd known him or knew the people on the plane. The president rushed up to Alma Brown's house, and we got a call from Alexis Herman, who was then on the White House staff, saying, you know, the president's going to go to the Commerce Department in 20 minutes. Can you write something up for him? And we said, well, sure, but did or does, this is one of those moments where you don't know what tense you're supposed to use. Does Ron Brown have a favorite Bible passage or hymn? And she said, yes, da-da-da-da-da-da, gotta go, click. So I wrote it down, but we didn't know if we'd gotten it right, what it really was, and we didn't have much time. We scrambled, we thumbed through Bibles, it was like a joke. We called rabbis, priests, and ministers. We looked on the internet, and we couldn't find it. So we had no choice but to just put it in the speech and go over there. President Clinton came in, and we went up to him, and one of my colleagues handed him the speech and said, Mr. President, here's some remarks you could use. There's only one problem. There's this Bible quote here, and we don't know if it's a real Bible quote. And Clinton looked at it and said, oh, Isaiah, this is the New English translation. I prefer King James. That's what I'll use. And he got up and sort of blended the translations and improvised a whole eulogy around this. And, you know, none of us could have done that.
Well, Michael Waldman, I thank you so much for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Michael Waldman is President Clinton's former director of speechwriting. Waldman's new book is called POTUS Speaks. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.